Father, we thank you for your unending love. And Lord, it's because you love us so much that you extend mercy and grace. And Lord, you love us enough to let us realize that the world we live in is fallen and we just are desperate for you. So out of our desperation this morning, Father, we lift a voice of prayer for our brother in Christ, Ernest. And Lord, we know that you do not want him to go through this feeling alone. So Lord, I pray that you'll continue to use us in a way that reaches him. I pray, Lord, that you continue to use us in those moments when he needs encouragement. I pray, Father, too, that you continue to use the doctors and nurses to care for him. Lord, you gifted those folks with their abilities and their knowledge for a reason, for a purpose, and it's a purpose such as this. And Father, I'm reminded of the other day when the doctor came in and said, our goal is a cure. So Lord, I just pray that right now that you are already at work, you're providing that cure for Ernest and for his family. And Lord, as Diane and Lula continue to travel back and forth each day, Lord, we just ask a continued arm of protection around them. Lord, we just pray that you will let them go safely and return safely. And Father, we know that it's a strain and a stress on them mentally and emotionally. So Lord, we just ask for your strength. We ask for your encouragement for them as well. And Father, we love you this morning. And Father, we pray these things and we ask these things of the only one that really can do the things that we're asking. So God, we trust that, we know that, and we believe that. And we pray these things now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I really was torn about having services this morning, to be honest with you, but then I just felt like God said, if we can get there, we need to get there. And here we are, right? And if you were here last week, we started a new series on what? Revival, right? We started talking about what that means to be revived. And I used the analogy of CPR. And CPR, a lot of times, is what? We need to be resuscitated, right? We need a new breath, a new wind, or a newness from God in our life. And, you know, how fitting it is that for whatever reason God laid these messages that we're going to cover over the next few weeks on my heart, and he laid them on my heart to begin them at the beginning of a new year. And I think 2025, if you look into the year that's coming, I believe God's got some good things, y'all. It's one thing to say that God is good all the time, but man, you got to believe it. And if you believe it, there's some good things that he's got ahead for us. And I, you know, in thinking about last week's message, I concluded that message with a statement that I think is key for us here at Mount Freedom, especially as we consider the significance and hopefully the impact that a series like this, a series on revival, can have on us. If we truly desire that God revive us, and a lot of y'all raised your hands last week. If we truly desire that God revive us, then we got to first do what? Get prepared for that revival. And I think sometimes if God did breathe a new life into us, a new breath into us, it would take us off guard. It would take us by surprise. Why? Because I just think sometimes we're not prepared for God to do something that big, that fantastic, that powerful in our life. So we got to first get prepared. Remember, revival, though, is not an event. How many of you, we talked about this last week, went to revival services, and in your mind, you see those things as this big event. But can I just tell you this? It's not an event. It's a spiritual journey reserved for those who love the Lord and are desperate for him. I feel like I ought to say that again. It's a spiritual journey for those of us who love the Lord and are desperate for him to pour out something new and fresh into their hearts and minds. So as I think about that, what does it mean if God begins to pour something fresh, new, into my heart and my mind? I go to a deeper level, y'all. And I think that's what God's challenging us to do here at Mount Freedom is, hey, we're here, but can we go here? And when we get here, then can we go here? Can we get on this just this deeper, purer level with God? So it reminds me of just a few verses, and I want to encourage you to start praying these each day, okay? And they come right from Scripture. First, if you desire to have a better heart, then guess what you need to do? Ask the one who created the heart to do what? Create the better heart in you. There's a verse in Psalms, right? Try praying these words from Psalm 51, 10, 11, and 12. And if you need to write them down on a note card to remind you, it doesn't take that long. But if you really, really want a revival in your life, you really want God to show up and give you that CPR, to breathe that new breath of life into your heart, then guess what? You got to start by asking Him to do that. And Psalm 51, 10 through 12 says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." That's a prayer, guys. It can be a prayer. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." See, when you pray that, you know what message you're sending back to the Father? You're saying, "God, I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't even know sometimes what it might feel like to be revived. But boy, I really want that. But start with my heart. Start with my heart." So if we desire for the God of heaven to change us and breathe new life into us, then as I mentioned last week, we need to pray what? Expecting Him to do just that. Think about that. If you pray the words of Psalm 51, 10, 11, and 12 with expectation, then before long, I think what you'll do is you'll look around and you'll say, "Wait a minute. God hears me. God's beginning to move. God's beginning to be present in my life. Oh, wait a minute. Those things that I felt yesterday in my mind and my heart, I don't feel those today." They're replaced with things like joy and patience and compassion and mercy and grace and love. Perhaps maybe we should also pray the words of Psalm 119, verses 17 and 18. And we say it this way, "God, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your" what? "Word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Now that's an Old Testament verse, so it's talking about the law, right? Not the Scripture that we have. So for us, what would we say? "Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your Word, out of your Bible." I say this all the time, get in your Word. How many of you, when you pray, will open the Word and just find a verse of Scripture and include that as part of your prayer? You want a revival in your life? You want a new breath from God? Try that. Try that. Go to your favorite verse, whatever it may be. And in the midst of that, incorporate your favorite verse into your prayer life. You see, God is not giving us these things as these ultimatums. He gives us these things like, hey, pray continually, pray without ceasing. Because He knows that when we do that, that our focus then becomes where it needs to be, on Him and only Him. If you remember the formula that we discussed last week from 2 Chronicles, when we begin to pray this way or add verses such as this to your daily prayers, guess what it'll do? It'll help move you toward becoming a person of Christ who is better prepared to receive a revival from God the Father. And here's what I've discovered in my own life, and I'm hoping that you'll discover this in 2025, as you draw closer to God, as you draw closer to Him, the stronger the desire to experience His holiness, His presence will become. The more I study, The more I read, the more I pray, the more I think about God, the more I study, the more I read, the more I pray, the more I think about my Savior, Jesus Christ. The more I pray and study and think about the Holy Spirit, the more that of a desire I get in my heart to just be so close to Him. And I almost get giddy. I almost get to the point where I just can't stand it. And people around me say, I need you to leave the room because I can't stand it. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. If you're living your life in such a way that the Spirit of God has other people around you wondering what's going on, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We also learned last week that revival will not come to the unrepentant. Repentance sets the stage for revival. And when it comes, revival that is, the holiness of God comes with it. You know why? Because a holy God will only be found in holy places. In other words, if you've prepared yourself to receive the holiness of God, then His holiness will show up. A holy God will only be found in holy places. If we, and when I say that, I'm talking about starting with me individually and then corporately. If we continue, though, to participate and live in sin, to participate and live with impure and selfish lives, faults, actions, all those things, then guess what we're going to continue to do? We're going to continue to construct, we're going to continue to build, we're going to continue to put in place barriers that'll prevent us from experiencing the fullness of God, the fullness of His holiness, the fullness of His presence. And I want you to look at me. I don't want anybody in this room to have barriers that separate you from God. That's a bad thing. That's not a good thing. You say, well, what are you saying to us, preacher? Well, guess what? If we want true revival, then we got to start searching desperately, seeking desperately for the holiness of God to be present in our lives. Guess what? I just made a statement that He's only going to be present in the places that are holy. Create in me, O God, a clean heart. Start praying that, asking God to help you with that. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your words. Start praying that. Cast me not away from your presence. In other words, God, make me holy so that you can be here with me. You know, each time the prophet Isaiah had an encounter with God, he encountered God. Do you think he stood around and said, oh boy, He's here again. Look at this. Maybe inside he had those thoughts. But if you read it and you study it, each time the prophet Isaiah encountered God, one of the first things that came into his mind, one of his biggest concerns, was his own holiness. Not God's holiness, but his own. According to Isaiah 6:5, upon encountering God, this is what Isaiah said. Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If we are serious, and I hope that's been my prayer, is that we get serious. But if we are serious about seeking revival, then we must get serious about our lack of holiness. And look, I think y'all are going to find from me in 2025, I'm going to be even more bold. You know why? Because I think that's what God has told me to do. Time is definitely short. It's shorter by the second. So I don't want you to think that I'm going to sugarcoat things for you, because I'm not going to do that. If we want to be serious about experiencing a genuine, authentic revival, then we first got to get serious about our lack of holiness. And you notice I'm using our there because I'm including myself. But I desperately understand and I desperately know that if I want to truly experience the power and the presence of God every day, then I got to get rid of what's not clean so that what is clean can take its place. You see, God wants our humility. We talked about that last week. You remember the formula? Humility. Prayer. You remember all those things we went through out of 2 Chronicles? He wants our humility. He wants our prayers. He wants our worship. He wants us to love Him. But here's the thing. Because He's holy, He also wants us to be holy. Without it, our relationship with Him, guess what? It'll suffer. It'll suffer. So here's something I'm beginning to learn and I'm beginning to understand more and more. Is that while God wants all those things, and those are all great things. Matter of fact, He commands us in His Word to do those things. To practice humility, to pray, to love Him, to worship Him, right? But I'm learning that above all of those things, our prayers, our worship, God desires our holiness. He says so in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. This is what it says, "For I am the Lord your God." Before I go further, I hope that's how you see God. I hope that's how you see Jesus. I hope you see Him as your Lord. He says, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be what? Holy, for I am holy." So are all those things that we've been talking about our whole life in church, prayer time, fellowship time, worship, are all those things important to God? Absolutely. But because God is holy, He also wants us to be holy. True revival will lead us to a place of holiness. God's holiness, by the way, that's present in the hearts of those who love Him. How do we get there, though? That's probably what you're thinking, right? Well, I hear you, preacher, but how do we get there? How do we get there? I'm going to borrow the words of Kim from her praise and testimony. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep going, right? The prayers help. The prayers keep me. How do we get there? We got to keep at it. We got to keep doing it. We got to know that God is good all the time. And that the pursuit of holiness is worth it. It's worth it. You see, holiness is not this unattainable characteristic of God. It is something that we must work towards each day. Yeah, somebody give me a definition for holiness. Do you know what it means? That word itself. It means to be set apart for God. To be set apart for God. So ask yourself this question. Is my life one that is set apart for God? In other words, am I living my life for me or for God? How do we get there? I say this a lot, but consider your salvation. I think that's the first place to start. Not from a doubting standpoint. If you know that you know that you know that you're saved and you belong to Jesus Christ, consider what that means. Consider what your salvation brings to you on a personal level. Okay? Peter, in his letter, 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16, says this, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" If we want to pursue the holiness of God. We want to experience the holiness of Christ in our life. Guess what? You got to first belong to Him. You got to consider your salvation. You see, it's apart from Jesus Christ, we have no hope of ever being holy. It's kind of like conquering sin. Apart from the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, there's sins in my life that I'll never be able to conquer. Guess what? If I truly want to be holy, guess without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, it's not going to happen. Our salvation means that we're something new. It is our regeneration as born-again believers that sets us apart from what? The world that's all around us. But it also allows us to live a set-apart life that's bent toward God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the world around me. I want to be set apart for God. If you desire revival, and the next thing we need to do is we need to begin changing our thought process. We got to start thinking about the things of God. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says it this way, "If then you have been raised with Christ," and I look around this room, a lot of you have been raised with Christ. If you're like me, from the time my mom felt it was safe to take me to church, and my understanding is that was a week old on the front pew of Wolf State Baptist Church out in QE community. From the time I was a week old, I've been raised with Christ. But again, go back to the first point of this. Consider your salvation. Some of you sitting here this morning, you've been raised with Christ, but you don't yet belong to Christ. Colossians says this, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Why? Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Are there some awesome things on earth? Absolutely. Y'all was talking about that beautiful snow and all that stuff that I can't stand. But I tell you, if you saw my wife's Facebook and all the pictures of us playing in the snow and sledding. Can I be honest with you? I didn't enjoy the snow and I didn't enjoy the cold, but I absolutely loved the precious time I got to spend with my family and my grandkids sliding down that nasty mess. So are there great things that's on this earth, that's in this world? Absolutely. Absolutely. But they pale in comparison to the things that I'm waiting on, that He's got reserved for me in heaven. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. The Scripture is telling us to direct our focus towards the heavenly things. And people say, well, that's all that stuff's in heaven. I don't have access to that. That's a lie, by the way. You got access because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that God has sealed inside you. There's a prayer in the Bible that says in the midst of that prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Are we waiting on the heavenly kingdom? Absolutely. And is there things that God has reserved for that place and that time and that moment? Absolutely. But I think there's also things that God wants us to experience and be a part of here on earth because of our relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, and because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Direct your focus toward the heavenly things, and it'll give you access to some of those things now. Think about Jesus for a minute. What do you find beautiful about Jesus And that's hard for us men to look at Jesus and say, well, I don't know. You want me to find the beauty, the beautiful part of Christ? What are the things you find beautiful about Jesus? What is great in your mind? What is great in your heart about the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm so thankful for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that Jesus died on a cross and that God raised him from the dead 3 days later. You know why? Because that's what he came to do, to save me from myself. What do I find great about that? That he did it for me. That he did it for you. What is great about the hope of heaven? We got a long time to talk about that, I believe. And as awesome as it is to think about, as great as it is to think about, it's a hard one for me sometimes to think about. But God reminds me that that's my hope. He reminds me that that's what I'm longing for. And number one on the list is longing to be in the presence of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know this, I believe this, that when I stand in His presence, it's all of those that trusted in Him and believed in Him that I'm also going to be standing in the presence of as well. What a hope. What a hope. What do you find great about that? What do you find beautiful about the heaven that's promised you? These are just some of the things that we ought to, as a family, a church family, be encouraging each other to consider each day. In other words, the next time I see Jackie, I ought to say, man, how's it going, Jackie? And then he's going to do the Christian thing, and he'll say, oh, man, it's okay. Or it's going right. Knowing in the background it probably ain't. His world might be going to pieces, right? And I ought to listen to that, and I ought to hear that, but I ought to say, you know what, have you thought about Jesus today, Jackie? Beth, have you considered your salvation today? Have you considered what it means when you're going to get to heaven, Renee? And those things are to encourage us. They are to lift us up. They are to prepare us to receive a revival that I believe in my heart God is waiting so desperately to pour out on His people. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Get right here. Search in His Word. Searching His Word. You know, this book is a treasure chest full of things. Ideas, prayers, songs. It's full of all kinds of things that will help you pursue holiness. That will help you pursue the holiness of God. Try it. I promise you'll be blessed by it. You'll be changed by it. And before long, you'll say, man, I never thought God would do that for little old me. So finally, I want you to understand this. Holiness is not something fake. How many of you are good at reading people? Don't really answer that. All of us at point in time have left a conversation or an interaction with somebody and you say, ah, boy, that didn't seem very genuine. Can I just tell you this? When the holiness, the presence of God is in your life, you won't walk away from that interaction going, well, something just doesn't feel genuine about that. Holiness is not fake. Especially when it's something received directly from God through His Son and through His Spirit. So you've heard me encourage you to embrace who you are in Christ. When you set out to pursue genuine holiness, then you're setting out to discover who it is God intends you to be in Christ. Holiness is the result of becoming that person. Think about that. When you fully embrace who you are in Jesus Christ, then you're also embracing His holiness, His righteousness. And if you've embraced that, and He is what people see in you, and they say, man, that person is definitely a Christian. That person definitely belongs to Jesus Christ. Then guess what they're not seeing? The real you, because it's been replaced by the you in Christ, the you in Jesus. Holiness is becoming that person. As God transforms you from the old to the new, it's His holiness that people will begin to notice. What do I mean by that? When we give our life to Christ, the Bible tells us it'll change us. You know what that means? Those old things that you used to find happiness in or joy in are replaced with new things that you find happiness and joy in. And oh, by the way, those are the things from above, the things of Christ. And you don't think people will notice that? You're fooling yourself. But can I go back to it's a good thing? That's a good thing. It's an impactful thing. As God transforms you from the old to the new, it's His holiness that people will notice. And I think that's one of the reasons Paul often used the metaphor of being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Especially when he was talking about our relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. But this is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may keep and live your word. And God, revive me today. Revive us today. Will you pray with me? We're going to play one song of invitation. If you need to do business with God today, I'll be here. The altar's open. Don't leave without making some things right with your Savior, with your Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you love us enough to be honest with us. We thank you, God, that even though it hurts, you'll tell us that we're unholy. We thank you, God, that you love us enough to give us your word that teaches us how to pursue holiness and get rid of all that stuff. So God, today, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for allowing us to fellowship together, allowing us to encourage one another, allowing us, God, to worship you through our prayers, through our song, through our giving, and through our love for each other. And oh God, may you be pleased with all that you've heard and seen in this place today. Father, we love you, we thank you. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, we love you and we thank you. And we pray all these things together in your mighty and holy name. Amen. Will you stand? If you need to come and do business with God, now's a good time. It's a great time. There's light for In the days ahead, is that you'll listen to the lyrics of that song in your heart and you'll turn your eyes on Jesus. That's where you'll find grace. That's where you'll find mercy. That's where you'll find love. Be safe as you go home. There's still some ice. I don't want anybody to get hurt. No services tonight. Again, men's ministry Wednesday at 6 p.m. And then after that, we'll be back next Sunday. One thing I did forget to mention, continue to pray for Rosalind and her family as they're dealing with the loss of her father. I'll get more details about that tomorrow, and I'll put that on GroupMe as well. But if you see her or you see any of the kids or anything, just try to love on them and encourage them and pray for them, and just ask God to be their strength, to be their Savior. Be the one that lifts them up and walks with them every step of the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for all that you do. We thank you, Father, for what we're waiting on. And Lord, as we leave today, may we keep our eyes on our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen.